The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
No, 4 hours is not sustainable. I think people are supposed to have at least 7 hours of sleep at night. Your body has to heal. Your body needs that recovery time.
Boy, I was up to 4 a.m. watching that Omen trilogy.
Mm, that's good stuff.
I can't keep doing this to myself. I'm exhausted.
Can't you grab a nap at work?
Not with that big glass window looking out onto the hall. And I love a good nap. It's because it's the only thing getting me out of bed in the morning.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know if this is split on gender lines, if this is a male-female thing, but when I nap, I crash hard, and if I don't get like a 3-hour stretch, the nap does no good for me.
Listen, let me ask you a question. Could you expand the space underneath the desk, you know, give it a little more headroom?
George, he's kind of tied up here.
It'll have to be a night job anyway.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Because if I wake up like 20 minutes, an hour 20, etc., I'm just groggy and cranky, right? So I may as well not have taken the nap.
You know, this could sound crazy, but what do you think about adding a drawer for, like, a blanket?
Blanket or a quilt?
Blanket.
That thick?
Maybe like this.
Like that?
Yeah, like that.
That's what you want?
That's what I want.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it. She running her mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running.
Are there actually people out there right now who don't think the Packers are the best team in the NFC?
Yeah, there's one guy. Who is it?
Just the one guy.
There's
who's
one
that
guy.
One guy?
One guy.
Who is it? I can't remember.
Wait, you actually heard it?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were just being funny.
No. There was one. He said Arizona was the best. I'm like, you're crazy.
Oh. We have a long list of national pundits, radio people who basically think that the Packers are the best team. Colin Cowherd is there. Rich Eisen is there. Greeny is there. Stephen A. Smith is there. Charles Woodson, who obviously has a connection to Green Bay. By the way, Gabe, were you at Lambeau Field this weekend?
I was.
How was the Charles Woodson celebration?
I mean, from what I could tell, because I'm a little busy during halftime.
Are you?
Had the ceremony.
Is it hard what you're doing during halftime?
It is. It's actually very difficult.
Can confirm.
But, I mean, people love Charles Woodson, and his speech was, I mean, did anybody have a better weekend than Charles?
Yeah.
I mean, he
between
was
Michigan
and being there for Fox and being at Michigan, then he comes and gets his Hall of Fame ring, name on the facade at Lambeau Field. It's a pretty good weekend.
What is the sucking in through the teeth?
Though. I struggle a little bit.
With Charles Woodson?
Was he great here? He wasn't Reggie White. Wasn't close to Reggie White. Wasn't anywhere near Reggie White.
Okay, first of all.
I'm just saying.
Your obsession with Reggie. Like, I'm starting to become concerned for you, pal. But Charles Woodson was really damn... He won a Defensive Player of the Year here. And you're going to ask if he was great? Scored 3 touchdowns defensively in 1 year. Led the league in interceptions a couple different times.
He did?
Yeah.
He didn't even play in the Super Bowl.
He played in the Super Bowl and got hurt in the Super Bowl.
He played half the game.
And then
Reggie had 3 sacks, dominated the game.
Did you guys see the clip that Fox put out this weekend? I believe it was this weekend. Maybe it was last weekend. I'm not sure. I can't keep it straight. But of the Charles Woodson speech. So they had A.J. Hawk and they had Greg Jennings talking about the speech that Charles Woodson gave at halftime during the Super Bowl after he had been hurt, after he broke the collarbone. And I mean, to a man, they say they don't remember exactly what he said, but it was the way he said it that just galvanized that locker room, that made them believe that even though things had gotten a little dicey in that game, they could, in fact, win the Super Bowl. Oh, my gosh, I just got goosebumps just like relaying what they had said about him. So Charles Woodson, one of the guys who thinks the Packers are one of the best teams.
Just because Charles Woodson's up on the facade doesn't mean he's like threatening Reggie's legacy, buddy.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question, but I think I realized why I have this bias. And I'm wearing the hat.
Okay. Okay.
I hate Michigan.
The whole state?
No. No, just Ann Arbor. Yes. That area,
no,
generally
I,
speaking.
I cannot stand Michigan.
Why? It's not like you went to Notre Dame. It's not like you went to Michigan State. You went to Boston College.
Well, my
College.
Son
What's
did.
The...
Just the way they carry themselves, they're very Brian Kelly-esque. You know?
Hey, now, for those at home who don't know what that wanna... means, what does that mean, they're Brian Kelly-esque?
Doucher. I want to ask you this. I'll pose this to you.
Okay.
Take, and Charles Woodson, unbelievable player, Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Okay. Take his best, his only 7 years in Green Bay.
Yes.
Take Leroy's best 7 years in Green Bay.
Yep.
Who's better?
Charles Woodson.
Nope.
Charles
Wrong
was,
again.
Charles was defensive player of the year for the league. Like the entire league, they went, this guy, best defensive player, right here.
I think we should nail this down. Do you just hate everyone that comes out of Michigan? Do you hate Tom Brady as well? Like, who are?
Uh-oh.
How does this extend?
Uh-oh. What's this
how
guy going to...
How far does this go?
What are you going to do here?
You got your Tampa Bay.
I like Brady. I don't know. I'm a weird dude.
I mean, I hate to be the one to have to call you out here on the discrepancies in your affiliations, but that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Having been to a number of games at Michigan State, having been to three games where they played Michigan, they're just, I don't, it's, they're not blue collar. I'm blue collar. I like blue collar. They are. You're going to tell me University of Michigan people aren't some of the most arrogant people you know?
I don't think you should agree to that at all.
You don't think so?
Honestly, I don't think I know anybody from the University of Michigan. I don't know if I've ever met anybody.
You've had to deal with them.
But here's what I will say. In my experience with Michigan, it's mostly the way that Harbaugh carries himself. Okay? And like, so then that asks a bigger question. Does a program always take on the personality of its head coach? And if it does, do you blame the program for Harbaugh being kind of an oddball? He's kind of an oddball, right? But again, yesterday we told you guys the story about how he is taking all of his bonus money from this year and giving it back to the staffers who had pay cuts because of COVID. That's a good guy in my book. That goes into the good guy on the ledger of the hash marks on the tallies.
But hasn't he dialed it down, though? Don't you think?
Dialed down the what?
Douchiness? Harbaugh.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But
I mean, because when he first got there, he was...
Yeah, but then he met with the Pope.
But my point is a program responsible for the personality of the coach? Because,
yes.
Like, again, I don't necessarily think that Michigan as a whole is a bunch of douches. Right? I think,
I believe the correct term, Jen, is douchers.
Douchers. So close. But that's interesting that you might dislike Charles Woodson simply because he's a Michigan man.
It's not
you
want to
keep workshopping this
don't
one, or?
Dislike him. I would just like to see his 7 years against Leroy's best years there.
I mean, here are the interception totals from Charles Woodson in Green Bay: 8, 4, 7, 9, 2, 7, 1. He also in his time in Green Bay scored 9 defensive touchdowns.
How many sacks?
Sacks. So we've got 3, 2, 1.
Someone changed the position.
I was going to ask you.
Yes.
So I actually think that Charles and Leroy have the same number of career sacks.
But I also think that both of them.
I don't want career. I want Green Bay.
I know Charles' career better than I know Leroy's, right? I obviously know Leroy. He's a great, great guy here in the community. Great, obviously, player. I know he's trying to get in the Hall of Fame. But didn't Charles Woodson play up at the line of scrimmage pretty frequently?
Wasn't
that part of his resume, part of his repertoire?
Charles in Green Bay had 11.5 sacks in his 7 years. Leroy had 20.5 in how many ever years he was in Green Bay? 12.
Okay.
They also had the same amount of interceptions.
Ooh.
In their career?
Yes.
Oh, in their Green Bay careers.
In their Green Bay careers, yes, 38.
And Charles played, 4 years less.
Than
Leroy in Green Bay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Should turn the mic on. I'm not going to lie. I did not see the first segment of the show being Charles Woodson versus Leroy Butler, guys. I got to tell you, I got a whole list of things we were going to talk about here today, and Charles Woodson versus Leroy Butler was not on the list.
That is weird how we went off the wheel.
I wonder how this happened.
Never happened before.
I wonder how this happens.
Great. Can we get back to what I did want to talk about? Okay. Can we get back to what we were going to talk about? Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee Show yesterday, guys. A lot of football talk yesterday, which is kind of cool because we're getting away from some of the drama, some of the Green Bays of our lives that we've been talking about for what it feels like is forever. And one of the things that he said, though, was that he doesn't know how this information about his body, about his toe, is getting out there. But he has a theory, Ashton.
Yeah, look, again, with these reports, I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know who's talking. It seems like there's certain coaches that may have friends in the media that they don't realize are actually just trying to report things on.
But, guys on your own, on the Green Bay staff, you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Age, you've known about that. There were guys for a while who had their people they would leak stuff to.
You got to be real careful there. Extremely careful. I mean, it's one thing to talk about an equipment guy, trainer, you know, because you spend time with them in the building, but with coaches, you spend a ton of time with them. You better be damn sure they did it if you're going to call them out. Am I right?
But also, like, this, if this is about the Tim Pelissero thing about him not getting surgery, like, who cares? Because he's not getting surgery. It's not like the information was inaccurate. You know, it just said he's electing not to have surgery at this time. And that's what he's doing. Like, why is he upset that this information about his toe is getting out there? I just don't understand why he's like, even talking about this.
Why is
he
acting like he hasn't been around the block 700 times? Well, yeah, like, you've been in the league for 16-plus years now, man. You know how this stuff works.
You're telling me that he has never used the media to try to get something out there? Over 16 years, definitely has.
No, I know. I'm just saying when you're accusing a coach of doing that, even
well,
though you kind of soften it on the back end. You better, you know, because no one likes to be called out on something they didn't do.
Sure.
Right?
What if you did it?
Some people, when they did it, even don't like to be called out.
Most people, I would argue.
But you know what I mean?
But it kind of seems like he knows where it's coming from, even though he says, well, I don't know where this is coming from.
But if you accuse somebody of being a rat,
yes,
that's a bad thing, right? Like, you better be sure that they are a rat if you say that they are a rat.
I don't think he's accusing anyone of being a rat here. I think he's accusing someone of being a mole.
Well, until he walked it
what
back a little.
What is the difference?
Rat, well, first of all, rat is a lot worse.
Well, like, Ashton's a good guy.
I think we got to figure out what's the difference between a rat and a mole. I don't understand. Chewy was talking about a rat and just stared right at me. So I'm not sure what I've ever done to him.
Yeah. Ashton's not a rat.
No.
If anything, he'd be a mole. He'd leak like mole to me is leaking little insignificant information. Rat is if you're.
I think a rat, doesn't a rat know they're a rat? Deep down, they know they're a rat.
Yeah, but again, doesn't a mole know they're a mole? In my estimation, a mole is like infiltrating. It's like where you go in behind enemy lines and you pretend to be a pal, but you're actually a rat. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the act of infiltrating is where the mole part comes in. The rat is just when you...
See, we called it pipeline. We didn't even call it either or. Like, we'd be in training, someone would be sharing a little too much information, and one of the veterans would say, careful, pipeline...
Ooh.
You know? Yeah, I mean, that's a real thing. You get shined up on a Wednesday, you stay away from the training room because they're going to be like, oh, your cheek's a little rosy there.
Because that's a pipeline.
Yeah.
What is the difference between a rat and a mole? And are there rats/moles, we'll figure it out, in the Packers organization? Because Rodgers seems to think that somebody is leaking information to the media. I kind of feel like this is how this works. You know what I mean? Like, you text a guy, you call a guy, Merry Christmas, how's the family, da da da, what's the scoop here?
Well,
you know, and some people volunteer information,
let me ask you a question,
and some
though.
People don't.
Jen, you work for a huge company. Do you have to tread lightly around certain people because you might be worried they might be passing the information along?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it happens, I think, in every business.
Passing right? It up the chain, up to the bosses, up to somebody.
People, you know, it's the crab bucket, right? Let's pull her down and try to use her as a ladder and climb over to get to the top.
It's one of my favorite moments on this show. Chewy informed all of us about the crab bucket theory.
And Ashton confirmed it.
He did, yes. What is the difference between a rat and a mole? because I think that that Rogers is insinuating that there are some sort of, I don't know, stuff going on. Plus, it sounds like you've started a thing now, Chewy. Leroy Butler versus Charles Woodson. We'll get into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If you are looking for great ideas this holiday season, no place to go other than the Jewelry Center for your significant and others. Go to shoptjc.com or stop in one of their three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, and in Burlington. The Jewelry Center has a brand called Lightbox. It is awesome. If you've seen what they have and they're offering with Lightbox, they are lab-grown diamonds, and this is a huge market. They have one-carat diamond necklaces for $1,100, two-carat total weight diamond earrings for $1,899. You can find the same pair for almost $3,500 at a large competitor. Making the same lab-grown diamonds, get a better price at the Jewelry Center. They have interest-free financing as well. Also, if you say that me and Chew sent you, you will receive a free gift if you purchase Lightbox. So remember Lightbox this holiday season at the Jewelry Center. Check out Lightbox's lab-grown diamonds only at the Jewelry Center.
Gabe and Chewy.
It's quite intimidating. The picture I wanted to use of Chewy was so good.
He looks like such a doofus.
He is a doofus. He looks like he is a doofus.
I think he has gotten better looking with age. Like, he's a good looking dude now. Not that he's, you know, unattractive in this picture. He just kind of looks like a doofus.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It can be difficult to summarize brilliance. And other times we have Mitch on the line and we have Adam on the line. And Mitch wants to talk about Leroy versus Charles, and Adam wants to talk about Mole versus Rat. And that, my friends, is a perfect summary of what you get from 7 to 9 here on ESPN Milwaukee with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Who do you want to start with? You want to start with the Mole versus Rat? You want to start with Leroy versus Charles? Somebody say something.
Just pick one, Ashy. One or two?
Me? Let's go one.
Okay.
Mitch, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Mitch.
Morning, guys. Love the show, man. Got to say, Rat Mole, tomato, tomato, it's the same thing. It's just what part of the country, what part of the neighborhood, you know, ippity-uppity or just street. Rat Mole, same thing. Leroy Butler, Charles Woodson. You guys have got to finally give Chewy his due because he is 100% right.
Yeah!
Okay, first of all,
exactly what you're going to say?
We give Chewy plenty of credit.
He has a drop, a literal drop on the show, okay? Nobody else has a drop on the show.
Nope.
What do you got, Mitch?
Leroy gave so many more dimensions. You could disguise nickel, still bring seven because he could play like a linebacker. He could cover tight ends. He could cover the slot. He could bring it hard. He could go against two people. He carries a guy in sacks, Bledsoe in the Super Bowl. He's just a stronger, more enforcer kind of a player. Yeah, Woodson had softer hands. He could read. He could cover more like Deion could cover. Okay, great. But more aspects of the game, more all over the field. When I saw, and I was doing some stuff around the house, and I saw the unveiling of Charles Woodson, and when I was like, what the heck is that? How are they not going to put Leroy up there if they're going to put him up there? Because if it's time in Green Bay for time in Green Bay, Leroy gets up there.
Well, it's a Hall of Fame thing, isn't it? Once you're in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, then you get into the ring, right?
Yeah,
on the facade.
The only person I think is Ted. Thompson up there, he's the only one who's not in the Pro Football Hall
of Fame. And I'm saying that, yes, overall, Charles' career, yes, better than Leroy. I'm just saying their time here in Green Bay, Leroy was better.
Does Leroy get in this year? Right, is this the last year, or is this?
I don't know. It's confusing the way the Pro Football Hall of Fame works. I don't know if it's his last year. I don't know if it's his last opportunity. But then, even if this is his last opportunity to get in conventionally, then there's the Veterans Committee.
I just think, you know what I think.
Like, Charles Woodson was the Defensive Player of the
Year. No, I know, but what's like a joke, Gabe, is, and they've done a ton of the best Super Bowl, our best teams ever to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think we were 10.
Yeah, you were 10.
And to have two people in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
From the 10th best team to ever play in the NFL is a joke.
Yeah, no.
Leroy should be in there.
I 100% agree. Like, I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah.
Like, Leroy deserves to be in, especially with some of the safeties they've put in recently that Leroy is very obviously better than. And I think he might be the only all-90s team member who's not in the Hall of Fame. So, like, Let's get him in.
Yeah. No, I agree.
That being said, Charles Woodson was Defensive Player of the Year.
All right. So we've handled that. But if you have an opinion on it, let us know. 800-990-3776. You can also weigh in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. But we'd love to hear from you this morning. Charles Woodson or Leroy Butler? Chewy says Leroy had a better career in a Packers uniform than Charles Woodson, who is, as you know, a Hall of Famer. Adam in Milwaukee, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Mole versus Rat. Which is worse? What's the difference?
Good morning. Thanks for having me for this important topic.
Yes, we agree.
A rat is someone who preserves themselves. They're giving information only because they're in trouble. A mole is intentionally seeking information and relaying that to another source.
I like this.
Yes. So the rat's in trouble, and they're basically using the information as their life raft, the life preserver, to get themselves out of trouble. The mole has intentionally infiltrated a group, an organization, with the sole purpose of passing information onto whatever,
that is
somebody else.
Great. But what's worse?
Rat.
No, dire straits. Right? Like, you're up against it. You got to do something. All you have is the information that you have to get yourself out of trouble.
I just feel like I'd rather be called a mole.
It's not as calculated, though. The mole is extremely
premeditated.
Calculated.
Absolutely, very premeditated.
The rat's just like, oh my
God,
I'm in the soup.
You're like actively gaining people's trust with the understanding, with the internal understanding that you are going to sabotage them, that you are going to betray them. The rat is just up against it. They have no other options, right? They've got busted. The cops have got him. The law enforcement has got him. And then they go, it's me or it's them. And I choose me.
So Aaron is calling the coach a mole,
yes,
not a rat.
Correct.
Which is dangerous. I think a mole is more dangerous than a rat. Because a rat you can kind of see coming, right? Or you're not shocked by it.
You're not shocked by it. I don't think you ever see the rat coming.
No, but I think everybody understands that if, again, I know there are people who say, I'm not a rat, right? It's a big thing from the crime movies. It's all of the, I'm never going to give up my guys.
Yeah.
But I think if you get into the position, you might rethink that. I think it's all well and good to say, I'm not a rat when you're not up against it, when somebody hasn't caught you, right? And it's not you versus the people that you're supposed to be protecting, the people that you're supposed to be kind of hanging with. That's what I'm saying.
You can always whack the rat. You don't know who the mole is. Right?
You don't always know who the rat is, though, do you?
Yeah,
most of the time you can figure it out.
Deductive reasoning, you're like,
but
all right.
I don't know if the people in Green Bay would be moles either, because they're not actively infiltrating. They all happen to work in Green Bay. They all happen to work at Lambeau Field for the football team, and they have friends or connections to media and are passing information. There has to be something about the infiltrating that qualifies for the mole part.
But what if you don't know you're a rat or a mole? Because I'll go back to my years of playing. Bob McGinn was one of the best.
Okay.
One of the best, because what he would do is we'd have team meetings and stuff like that, and he would grab a rookie from Saginaw State, you know, where they don't have a SID department or anything like that. The kid's greener than green, and he'd pull him aside after a team meeting and say, oh, what went on in there? And the kid was just so happy that someone in the media was talking to him, and he'd just spill, it'd get in the paper, and then Holmgren would be wild. Wild, you know?
But you're saying so the kid didn't know they
kid
were
had
a
no
rat.
Idea that he was.
But he knew after that.
He did know after
that.
That
Holmgren let him know real quick.
Yes.
That's absolutely a way that media works, by the way. You scan the locker room for the young and impressionable who might be willing to pass on information. And that does sound a little deceitful. Look at, he immediately was like,
experiencers, Jen?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's how you do it. You got to work a locker room.
No,
you got to have sources,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like,
no,
I will always say, and this is not like, I'm not breaking any news, but the guy that I got closest to when I was covering the Bears was Kyle Long. His first couple years in, and again, his dad's in the media, so he knows how it works. And I don't think he ever egregiously passed on anything that harmed the team that was salacious. But I knew that I could go to him and talk off the record about things that were going on. And sometimes, it was never anything that would hurt anyone else's career. It was never anything salacious.
Is off the record a real thing?
Yes.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
If I said, all right, off the record... It's not really off the record.
Well, like...
It's kind of up to the next person if it's still off the record or not. That's a good point.
Am I right?
But there's an understanding when you're in the media that if someone says something is off the record, then yes, it doesn't go on the record. I think your issue is the arbitrary nature of the record.
Yes.
That's what he's
it's
struggling
with.
It's
blind trust. That's what it is. It's blind trust, Chewy.
No, but it is. But what if I said, all right, Jen, off the record, And then Jen goes to Gabe and said, you know what? He said off the record. And Gabe's like, I don't care. I'm the second guy removed.
That's not how it works. The record is like this. Okay? This is the record, the microphone, the talking out loud, the media aspect of it. It's not like I can't go home and tell my husband what you told me off the record. That's not. Although my husband is in the media, so now it gets a little dicey.
Here we go.
I would have to say to my husband off the record so that he then knew that that was not information that he could pass on in his place of employment.
Why are you passing on the information?
It's off the record.
Because you tell your husband everything, don't you?
Do you
tell your spouse, yeah, the stuff. But you have to say off the record.
Just remember that next time you go off the record, Chewy. Not only do you have to trust that person, you got to trust that person's spouse. And you don't know if that person's spouse is or is not in the media.
This guy has the most diarrhea of the mouth of anyone on the show.
Because I can't remember.
On the show. So all of a sudden he's worried about what's on the record and off the record?
Good point.
But he actually is somewhat careful when the microphones come on. Because there have been times where he has started a story and then stopped the story.
That's a good, that's a really good point.
There have been many times.
Why we hear the same five stories, but they're good stories.
Dale and West Bend, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Dale.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I don't know. That's debatable, Dale. We don't really know how it's going. Off the rails is usually the answer there.
Hey, that's all right. That's what makes the show fun, right?
That's
Mole versus Rat. So. Rat is way worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mole's job is to infiltrate. So they're just doing their job. So gaining trust, I understand all that, but they're still doing their job. It's a good person trying to take down a bad person. A rat trying to save their own skin. They've been involved in the nefarious activity, but now decided, oh, since I've been caught, I'm going to throw everyone else under the bus. So Rat is way worse.
So does it have to be nefarious, though? If you're passing on information, if you're passing on secrets, do you have to be involved in nefarious activity in order to be a rat? Or can you be a rat when you're just passing on information that people just wouldn't want the public to know?
I think it has to be nefarious, but that's just my opinion.
So what are you, if your boss comes up to you and says, hey, I need you to go into this meeting and tell me everything that happens, especially what Charlie says over here?
Well, you're Mole. Gabe.
You're Mole.
That's
Gabe.
A Mole?
You're Gabe, right? Yeah. Gabe, that's what you have to do, right?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm a Mole. Yeah.
I just want to make sure we're all
raise your hand if you just discovered
okay?
You might be a Mole.
Off the record, of course.
Ashton just realized he, too,
no,
is
Ashton's
a
rat.
Why am I a rat?
I don't know, because I'm mad at you.
What did I do?
I have
I'm
no idea.
Seinfeld drops for you and everything. I'm trying to suck up to you.
That's it. There it is right there. Consider Professional Construction Inc. in Waukesha for all of your construction needs. Whether it's a remodeling project, a home addition, or you are building a new home, the PCI team is here for you. Mike and Michelle, some of my favorite people in all of the state, operate this family-owned company, and they believe in building relationships and giving back to the community. It's a huge reason why, when you are ready for a remodeling project, a home addition, or building a new home, you should contact my friends Mike and Michelle, because you will always be part of the process. Mike and Michelle are not only experts in their field, but they are people who will look at your situation, assess the realities of it, and give you the very best options for your project. Professional Construction Inc. is also hiring experienced carpenters to lead field crews. If that sounds like you, you can apply online at professionalconstructioninc.com/careers. professionalconstructioninc.com/careers. For more information on what PCI and Mike and Michelle can do for you, just go to their website. It's professionalconstructioninc.com, professionalconstructioninc.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
In this instance.
You took my damn spot.
So if he's there today, will there be a throwdown confrontation?
Oh, you know me. No, there's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen.
Do you want me to come home with you so there can be a throwdown confrontation?
Yeah, actually, can you... If you could fight my battles, I'd really appreciate that.
On 94.5 ESPN. And I wonder, when I sing along with you, if everything could ever be this way forever.
I can't believe it's December 1st. Where did 2021 go? By the way, what is the very best song that has a month in it?
Ooh.
I mean.
Gone Till November?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
November Rain.
Oh, yeah, probably. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Although, what'd you just say?
November Rain, Guns N' Roses.
That's a good one, too.
November Rain over I Go
It's a very long song, but not compared to the Taylor Swift song that's out now that's 10 minutes long and soaring up the charts. Rain is a good one. September is a good one by Earth, Wind, and Fire. What about, I said Gone Till November, right? That's Wyclef, right? Wyclef?
I think so.
What about...
First of May by the Bee Gees?
I don't know that song.
Unfamiliar.
How does
Wake
it go?
Me Up When September Ends?
Yeah, by Green Day. That's a good one.
Oh!
Yes.
That's two for September. How about A Long December by Counting Crows? That's another one.
There's going to be a bunch of Christmas songs that mention December, right?
Mention is one thing. Because isn't there a U2 song that mentions April something, the day that Martin Luther King Jr. was shot or something like that? Shots rang out in the Memphis sky. Something like that. April 4th, April something. I don't know. But that's in the song. There's probably months woven into songs. I'm talking about in the title.
In the title?
Yeah. In the title, I think Chewy's got a point with November Rain. I think Ashton has a point with September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Why is it the back end of the year getting so much love? Where's the love for February?
February sucks, horrible. That's why. February sucks. If somebody's making a song about February, I got many questions about you.
Okay, but there's not a lot of songs about July, and July is fantastic.
Born on the 4th of July.
By Bruce Springsteen. Good movie. No, it's a terrible movie. Tom Cruise is in it. I believe you know the rules.
Your favorite actor.
How do you know so much about Tom Cruise's film?
I know.
Like, just... category of, like, you just know every movie he's ever been in.
I have to know what to avoid. That's how it works.
Like, if I went to Tom Cruise's IMDb page, Jen's hitting 95% of the movies.
At least.
Possible. It's like Aaron Rodgers needs to know who the rats or the moles are at Lambeau Field telling people about his injury, which is actually true. That's the other thing. Does the information have to be true in order for you to be considered a rat or a mole?
No.
If you're just passing on arbitrarily false information, are you a rat or
you're
are
just
you
a
just,
jerk?
You're just bad at your job.
You just put the word lying in front of either one of those words, and that's what you are.
Which goes back to knowledge. Because now you know who the rat or the mole is. Even though the information may be false, it's still knowledge.
Right, but that is literal knowledge. You now know something that happened, which is you know that person is the rat. The information is not knowledge. It's the person becoming the rat or the mole is the actual knowledge.
Yeah, but what if you pick the wrong mole or rat?
That's not knowledge.
That's not knowledge.
It is. Then
you know he's not the mole or rat. Of course that is. That's knowledge.
Because you thought he was?
Well,
yes.
But then it turns out that he wasn't.
Right. So you still know a fact. Now you know that person isn't.
But you cross him off the list, though. You're like, all right, he's not. I thought he was. He's not.
It's always a man, huh?
A what?
A man. It's always a man.
It is.
Is it always a man?
No. The way we've been talking, it's always been a man today, this morning. Do we know any, like, famous rats or moles?
Who are females?
Yeah. I feel like we know. It's always male.
I don't know. I don't know any famous, like, I don't even, first
no,
of all,
there are.
How many famous rats are there? Like, I feel like this always
famous
goes back
rats?
To.
Ratatouille.
No. Feivel. Feivel goes west.
I mean, first of all, he was a mouse.
Yeah, probably.
His last name is Mouskowitz.
Yeah, that's probably true. I just couldn't think of any other famous rats. Is Mickey Mouse?
Oh,
he's
it's in
mouse.
The family, though.
Wait, is a mouse a rat?
It's in the family.
I love that you immediately were like rolling your eyes, and Chewie's like, oh, wait a minute. Let's hear her out.
Last name is Mouse. He was a man. He had a beard.
I don't know. Are there any other famous rats? Like, who's the most famous rat? Is it like the Watergate thing, or is it like, I'm trying
to
think of like.
What, that'd be a mole. Like, Deep Throat was a mole.
Yeah.
The most favorite rat I can think, Henry Hill was a rat.
Goodfellas.
Henry Hill. I'm sure there's female rats.
Is Henry Hill viewed as a villain or hero at the end of the day?
I mean, he thinks he's a hero.
Henry Hill, villain or hero?
I would say he's a villain.
FBI probably thinks hero, right?
He tried to play both sides of the fence.
Yeah, that's why he's a rat.
Still alive, right?
No, he died.
Do we know that for sure?
Yeah.
Let's not kill him. Let me check first.
He died, I'm telling you.
He's a real person?
He was at BC's campus.
He did that.
Did you know that?
Chewy was sure
right.
You're not talking about
Gabe.
Ray
Chewy
Yoda.
Was right. Gabe.
Your company, Jennifer, made a 30
yes,
for 30.
One of the
your
better
company.
Ones, too.
About Henry Hill shaving points at BC.
Yes, which makes you a rat.
He was a rat.
And Somehow then, you're a rat, too. I don't understand how you got lumped in.
Because she works for ESPN.
Oh.
I love that we're trying to give, like,
he was
credence
actually,
to his thought process.
He was actually in my dorm.
What?
Yes.
Like, you were across the room from him?
No, but when they, the 30 for 30.
Oh, like, so he was in your dorm building.
Yes.
Okay.
You know who was also tied into that story?
Who?
Mike Mayock.
Well, let me ask you a question.
What?
Mike Mayock. The GM of...
How was Mayock turned?
The Las Vegas Raiders, because he was the roommate of the basketball player who did the point shaving.
Wait a minute. Wasn't all that off the record?
Yes.
Okay, so who'd you get?
Dump that.
We have breaking news.
You didn't know that?
The breaking news is Chewy doesn't understand off the record
at
all.
No, I really don't. And I don't trust it.
No, that you don't understand. You don't understand it. It's not you don't trust it. You don't understand it.
Well, yeah, but that's why he doesn't trust it.
You've never seen that 30 for 30.
I haven't, but I definitely will put it on the list. What's the best scene from Goodfellas, by the way?
Walk through the kitchen.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, yes, from a cinematography standpoint, sure.
Also, I'm a big kitchen fan, so yeah, it's my favorite part.
The best scene, you said?
Yeah,
what
kitchen?
The best scene? What's the kitchen?
I mean, there's so many good, like, when you...
enter the back, through the kitchen, to
and
get
it's all
to the...
one long
the
shot.
The Copacabana?
They never cut.
Nah.
It's all one long shot. There's so many, like, iconic scenes from that film, right? Like, I can picture them, like, slicing... the garlic.
Oh, that's a great scene.
Right?
Making
like
the prison sauce.
Right? Surprised you didn't like that one, kitchen guy.
That is
that's
good
number
one.
Two on
that's
my list.
Why he got so
yeah,
excited.
That's right. I forgot about that scene. That's not number one on my
What about
rankings.
The scene where Karen is standing at the buzzer of his apartment of his girlfriend and she's just like hitting all the buttons? That's a great scene too.
No, I think the bar scene with who's the guy they beat the crap off, put him in the trunk.
Oh, just the one?
Yeah.
Everyone else they just killed him.
Have you seen the movie? Or yeah. Just clips of it. Yeah.
Shoe shine.
Well, the clown line, that's a great scene, right? Amuse you?
Amuse, yeah.
What, am I funny?
I also like the part where she's straddling him in the bed with the revolver in his face. That seems funny, too.
I haven't counted these tiles in a while.
It's still the same amount or no?
37 and a half.
800-990-3776. There you go.
What? We also missed the most famous rat. Greg hit me up on Twitter at gNeitzel16. It's Splinter.
Who's
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
Who's Splinter?
Oh. Who's Splinter?
I quit.
Yep, you're out. I'm out, too. But
just give me the movie.
But who's Splinter?
For Chewy. Chewy wants to know. That's why I was asking.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I've never seen it.
Oh, I don't want to say the next sentence.
Oh, my gosh.
Say that.
Everybody coming through with this. Justin in Cudahy. Master Splinter. Unnamed in the 262. What about Splinter? Ben in Waukesha. The rat from Ninja Turtles.
Is that the ninja, like, assassin mouse that's all jacked, like in the video game?
He's their sensei.
He's not
he raises
assassin.
I've never seen Ninja Turtles.
I thought
Let's
this
just say
was
that.
A kid's movie.
I'm not familiar
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, it is. Which is why Splinter is not an assassin.
He's their
sensei.
Dad. He raises the turtles. They go into the nuclear... It's not nuclear.
It's gross.
Sewer goo. I need to watch Turtles again, but at least I've seen
sewer
it.
Sewer goo?
It is sewer goo.
Work with a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, you do.
The turtles go in the sewer goo. It turns them into mutants. Hello.
Spoiler
it's
alert.
Ooze. It's called Ooze. The second movie is Secret of the Ooze. Come on, people.
What is it, sewer goo?
Wow, I've never seen Gabe so upset about anything.
Sewer goo.
He's going to go rat us out.
At least we know who the mole is.
I do think that sewer goo is an appropriate fill-in for ooze.
Well, you do your read, I got to go drop some sewer goos.
Damn it. You have to do a read here. I don't tell you.
All right, well, I got to pull myself together. Okay, we're not going to do that one. All right, let's talk about X-Golf. How about X-Golf? Because we don't have to talk about anything doing with sewer or anything like that with X-Golf, because X-Golf is a great place that you can go if you want to, you know, keep your golf. Oh, man. Jen. Oh, boy. So Jen broke her headphones. She broke her headphones.
Oh my god. Okay, we'll discuss. Do your read. We'll figure that out.
X-Golf, two locations in Milwaukee, Brookfield, brand new Mequon. I'll probably be out there at some point today, maybe tomorrow as well, because I want to make sure that my golf game stays sharp throughout the course of the winter with golf courses closing down. You want a place that you can play, and with the X-Golf state-of-the-art indoor golf simulators. Your golf game does not have to get rusty. Don't let your game suffer due to weather. Continue to golf throughout the winter. Maybe get a lesson from one of their great pros in Brookfield or in Mequon. They've got on-site PGA pros to help you out with that. Plus, they've got great food. Chewy loves the food. Check them out. XGolfBrookfield.com, XGolfMequon.com to book your tee time today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know, we didn't do the thing where you put all the appliances on a board and say, you got $15, build your team.
We're going to create one of those graphics like you see on Instagram and Twitter. It's like, hey, there's four rows. You get $5 to spend on this. And the $1 row is just like a dustbuster.
And a toaster.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I went to a shrink.
I definitely broke my headphones. Like, I can't even hear myself right now, which is probably a good thing.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, that's all that's important.
Okay, I have to hold the headphones, though. If you missed any of the last segment, and I highly recommend that you go back and listen to the end of the segment in which Chewy told us.
How was your read?
We rallied. I mean, it didn't help that, you know, Jen broke her headphones and then,
I was on the ground, you guys. I was laying on the ground. I was laughing so hard. You can find that on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. The college football playoff rankings came out last night. Any big surprises for you guys? In who was in the top four and who was in the top six, because it kind of feels like right now the big conversations surrounding the rankings are Notre Dame and if they do have a chance of getting in, and how scared should the other teams be of Alabama losing a close game to Georgia? Because there's a thought process that says that if Alabama loses to Georgia, which right now I think a lot of people think is going to happen, they should be out of the top four. But the argument could be made that if they play a close game to Georgia, they should be in the top four. Chewy, where do you stand on Alabama and what has to happen this weekend in order for them to be in?
No, I think the fact that they should have lost to Auburn will keep them out, even if it is a close game against Georgia. And I agree. I mean, this is clearly not the Auburn team we're used to seeing.
Yeah, but
dominant.
What about rivalry games? I always feel like Purdue is a good example of that, right? Like, nobody thinks that Purdue is a top team in the country, but for some reason, Purdue has had the number of other teams, right? Like, they're the team that can go in and beat an Iowa. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just have the number. It's in your head. Did you have teams like that when you were at Boston College where you either just had their number no matter what, no matter the strength of your team?
I think a lot of teams had BC's number. Yeah.
Or vice versa is going to be the next part of that statement.
Now, where I go to is Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. We're clearly better than them, but we just have this thing in our head where we would be ahead in the fourth quarter and then just wait around like, okay, when is something bad going to happen? And most times it did, for whatever reason, we wind up losing the game. But I just, that with two losses, the only way they get in with two is if Baylor beats Oklahoma State, and for whatever reason, Gabe, there's a couple excuses that they can use for keeping Notre Dame out, no conference championship game. And I did not realize this coming in today, that there is a provision in the rules that says if your coach leaves or players hurt or for whatever reason, that can be a reason to keep them out.
Yep.
Well, it wouldn't be keep them out per se. It would be basically that they are not the same team they have been because they're missing this key component, the coach, Brian Kelly, and therefore they can't like accurately give them the benefit of the doubt. And therefore, they would keep them out, right? It's not saying, like, you're missing a player, you're automatically out.
Yeah, because, again, that happened with Ohio State. When Cardale Jones was the third-string quarterback, everyone was like, oh, man, they're down to Cardale Jones without Ohio State the first year of the college football playoff. But then Cardale goes out, they dominate Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, and they felt good enough to put them as the number four team, and then Ohio State goes on to win the championship that year. But unless Notre Dame hires a coach before Sunday, which I can't imagine happens. Like, there's no way they're going to let Notre Dame in without.
But
a coach.
I think it galvanizes them. I mean, to a man, every single football player on that team wants to stick it to Brian Kelly.
Yep.
Am I right? There's no one saying, "Hey, good for Brian. You know, he left us high and dry, but he made all this money, and I wish him well." Give me a. There isn't one guy. Why don't they take that into consideration?
Does that information that they have this ability to basically dock a team because they're missing a player or a coach who had contributed to the success that they've had going forward, does that information incentivize Notre Dame to make a hire this week? Does it incentivize them to put somebody in a position? And again, you don't want to rush this thing, but if you have a candidate internally, like you're hearing that they do, do you say, hey, or do you, again, it kind of feels like you're not going to get in unless there's chaos anyway, right? You need Baylor to lose, you need Alabama to lose, and you need Michigan to lose as well to Iowa in the Big Ten in order for Notre Dame to really have a legitimate shot at it. Are you incentivized to be like, if any of those things happen, boom, we got our guy, let's go, because it could mean you're in the college football playoff?
With the interim tag? Or does it just have to be head coach?
I don't know all of those. Like,
but I mean, let's not this nuances. Cincinnati. There's a chance Cincinnati loses to Houston.
Yeah, sure.
Right, because Houston's a good football team. So, yeah. I mean, I guess I'm rooting for total chaos.
Yeah, I just don't think that because the coach being able, if the coach isn't there, we can dock you, and because you're not the same team, that whole line of thinking, I was unaware of it until last night. And the reason I think everybody was made aware of it, so everybody knows, even if chaos ensues, this is the reason Notre Dame's not getting it.
But they will not use that. They will not use it. They will use it internally, but they will hide behind, well, hey, you didn't play a conference championship game. We've been saying that all
week. Well, but also, who's the strength of schedule is a little bit questionable, right? For a while, that Wisconsin win looked like it actually had some credence to it. Wisconsin now not in the top 25. That hurts Notre Dame. You know, one of the best things they have going for them is that they lost to Cincinnati, and Cincinnati is the number four team in the country.
Does it hurt Notre Dame? Do they look at it a win at the time? Because that's what you have to do, right? Like, Wisconsin was ranked at the time they played. So to me, that's what you factor in, not what happened. Because what if Wisconsin had a bunch of injuries, right? And now all of a sudden, you know, they fall out of the top 25 because of those injuries. Does that mean you get penalized?
They would take that into consideration, but they don't have a bunch of injuries. They just stunk.
So what do they do here? All right, just go total chaos. Michigan loses, Cincinnati loses, Alabama loses, and Oklahoma State loses. Who's your four? Notre Dame has to be in.
So Georgia is in, Ohio State is in, Bama's probably in.
Yeah, but you have to put Notre Dame in.
I'm telling you, I think they keep Notre Dame out. And then I think Baylor would have a good chance as a conference champion because they're top 10. So if Baylor beats Oklahoma State, they leapfrog to the top of the line as a conference champ.
And you said Ohio State?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really? Hmm. Well, I want total chaos.
Do you want total chaos so that Notre Dame gets in?
Yes.
Like, all of a sudden, doesn't it feel like the tables have turned? For so long, people have been anti-Notre Dame. Like, whatever it takes to keep Notre Dame out, because, for whatever reason, blue bloods, or because they don't play at a conference, and they think they're better than everybody else, or whatever the mentality is. But doesn't it feel like now there's a bunch of people in college football who are actually saying, like, yeah, Notre Dame, the plucky upstart Notre Dame team. Doesn't it feel like that
a little bit? Yes.
It's crazy that Brian Kelly's departure has done that. They've galvanized the fan base, the college football fan base, to pull for Notre Dame.
We got to tell that great story too, because LaFleur and
Robert
tied
Sala
into this.
How absolutely
great! This story is so awesome.
Well, who told the story though?
Gabe.
Were they a rat?
It's off the record.
They a mole?
It was off the record.
Well,
so
it somehow found its way to the record.
Robert Sala told the story on the record.
Mole,
rat,
mole, mole,
Ashton.
Mole. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this.